This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Extraordinary Endeavor, a show about real questions from entrepreneurs to a chosen mentor thanks to our partner, Endeavor Malaysia. Endeavor is a global entrepreneur support organization that focuses on selecting and helping high-impact entrepreneurs from around the world to scale their business. And you can check out Endeavor Malaysia for more information on how to get access to mentorships, markets, capital, and talent on their website or social media platforms. This is episode 2 of our series, and today our mentoring session is going to be around cash flow. In light of COVID-19, many businesses are struggling with their cash flow, with numerous reports and survey results showing how some only have a few weeks of runway at the very least. Our mentor for today is Chari TVT, the senior advisor at Duff & Phelps. He's also an experienced chief financial officer with a history of working in telecommunications, technology, and the aviation industry. He was also once the group CFO for Axiata Group.
Hey, my name is Chari. My last name is TVT. I have spent about 20 years with Hewlett Packard, and I was in Hong Kong for 4 years out of the 20 years, 2 years in Malaysia, 2 years in Thailand, and about 12 years in Singapore. Out of the 20 years, the first 10 years I was in finance, the last 10 years I was heading sales and marketing at a country level, at a Southeast Asia level, and finally at the Asia Pacific level. And subsequently, for the last 10 years, I've been here in Malaysia. I was the group CFO for Celcom initially for about 4.5 years. And then subsequently, I was the group CFO for Axiata, a large listed telecommunication company listed in Malaysia. That's a brief background about me.
Our first entrepreneur today asking the questions to Chari is Aaron Patel, the founder and the CEO of iHandal.
Hi, I'm Aaron of iHandal. iHandal is a provider of energy efficiency solutions, where we partner with clients in retail to heavy industries to halve their energy costs.
His first question is a bit of a personal one, asking Chari about his previous experiences and if he's learned anything from those challenges in the past.
What was the most challenging crisis that you've had to manage? Was it a result of an external event, or was it more of a company-specific one? And how did past events or crisis shape you as a business leader?
It's a great question. Never have I seen anything like this in my life. This is I was there during the dot-com burst. I was also there during the U.S. Subprime financial crisis, but never has an impact has been as big as this. But if there's one thing that I was impacted substantially was when I was the group CFO of Celcom. We had a revenue of about 8 billion. Out of the 8 billion, 1.2 billion came out of SMS, and about 800 million came out of outbound and inbound roaming. So literally 2 billion out of the 8 billion just vanished in front of our eyes within a matter of 1.5 years. And it didn't come out of the traditional telco competitors, but it came from over-the-top player called WhatsApp. And they just took away 25% of our top line and literally about 50% of our EBITDA margin. So if there's something that is comparable, not as deep as this, was a digital disruption that happened to most of the telecommunication companies across the globe. And so that's the biggest thing that I would think that impacted me during my span. But whatever that's happening today is a lot more severe. It is surreal and it is unprecedented in a way. And still, it's not very clear whether when we have the recovery, the shape of recovery is going to be a V-shaped curve or a U-shaped curve or an L-shaped curve. People are still debating it. But if you ask me, till the end of the year, it's probably down and L. And hopefully by the time we get the vaccine and all stuff, things will get better. And that's my assessment.
While COVID-19 is unprecedented, there are learnings from other events that we could take that perhaps we never thought of. Learning from how we deal with previous challenges can help us to stay calm and think ahead before making any rash decisions. Aaron's second question is around the movement control order, as it's almost 3 weeks now since the enforcement took place. What are some of the reactions that should have already taken place by entrepreneurs?
Since the government's announcement of the RMO, what are some of the elements entrepreneurs should have already reacted to in order to ensure that their business can navigate through these times?
Again, a lovely question. This is probably third time to show the leadership. So first and foremost, we came out with a framework where leadership is going to play a significant role, creating a culture within the organization, which is a positive attitude, trying to sort of grow in spite of all the difficulties that we have. Third piece is around creation of strategy, thinking about the business model. Fourthly, around supply chain engagement, employee engagement, and finally, creating some commercial savviness. And these are some five buckets of key points that any leader has to consider. And some of them may probably sound a little cliche or theoretical, but fundamentally, I believe that if the CEO stays confident, from a leadership perspective, can you be calm? Can you be confident and positive? Can you be courageous? Can you be empathetic? Can you be resilient? Can you express your vision well? Can you communicate a lot more with authority? You know, these basic leadership qualities will have to come up high up in the agenda during this kind of crisis. But the minute you give up, everybody else is going to give up in a way. So I think if you ask me, the leadership is going to play a significant role. The second important piece that I see during this crisis is around planning. This is probably the best time for us to go lock ourselves into a room and looking at the business model that we have. If I look at Uber has gone ahead and or Grab, for example, have gone ahead and changed the business model substantially. It was a completely unsexy business, the taxi hailing and all that stuff, and now it's become a sexy business. It's got a huge amount of valuation. They don't have as much assets and all that stuff. So fundamentally, every single business manager or a leader will have to go back and say that, look, I want to change the business model. Is there anything that I can do better than what I was doing before? The other piece is, again, from a business planning and strategy perspective, is around the customer, market segmentation. Am I in the right market segmentation? So this is probably gives you an opportunity to go and look at it. If I look at my own experience, we used to look at our customers as follows. One is, who are all the high value customers? Who are all the medium value customers? Who are all the low value customers? And being a telecommunication company, a large telecommunication company, we need to fill up our network, as a result of which we also have something known as no value customers. So as long as the no value customer is, like 5 to 6% of the total revenue, that is all right. But fundamentally, every single business leader will have to start looking at the market segmentation. And this is going to be critical. Now, for example, when I say look at the market segmentation, you also look at whether it's profitable, it's not profitable, and all that stuff. We used to have tower-wise profitability at one point in time. And so you can imagine the kind of granularity that you can get into to see whether we are in the right segment or not. And again, because of the crisis, it gives you a little more time to sit through, think through, and alter course if you want. Again, as a part of the planning process, pricing and profit pools are very critical in a way. And, pricing is generally given the lowest priority in most of the organization, but that plays such a significant role that it is the role of a leader as well as the CFO and the COO, CTO. They need to also sit together, CMO, to sit together and say that, look, is there anything that I can do with respect to pricing and profit pools? But if I look at Qantas, for example, on the core business, they don't make as much money, but they make a lot of money on the periphery, which is the profit pools that I'm talking about. If I look at companies like Malaysian Airports, for example, 50% of the revenue comes out of the air side, and the other 50% comes out of the non-aero side, the car park, for example, or the retail outlets that they have. The KLA 2 can be akin to a shopping mall in a way. So I think every single business that we have has opportunities to go and grow business outside of or the first level of adjacency, they call it. There are profitability that we are leaving on the table, And we need to start looking at it and say, look, how can I go and enhance revenue? So I think the planning is going to be extremely critical. And one last piece out of the planning is to say that this is, again, a greatest opportunity to do a scenario planning to say, look, one is, what is my best case? What is my worst case? And what is my realistic case? And that drives good behavior in a way. And that's going to be the role of a leader at the C level, sitting together in the room and coming out with some document, a little more thought process and execute it.
Leadership, leadership, leadership. I guess, you know, it is really vital that during a crisis, you show that leadership element. And while those five buckets are as cliche as they come, as Chari said, it is actually going back to the basics that we sometimes tend to forget when we're just full steam ahead when things are going good. And take this time to rethink and reevaluate your business model as well. See opportunities and not challenges. We'll take a short break, but when we come back, we'll continue our session. You're listening to Extraordinary Endeavor on BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Extraordinary Endeavor. Today, we have Chari TVT, currently the senior advisor at Duff & Phelps, with years of experience as a chief financial officer in various organizations like Axiata Group. Earlier before the break, Chari gave us a little insight on how to rethink your business model during a crisis and some strategies on executing that plan. Let's continue. For the next question, I jumped in and building on to the points he made earlier, for those without an experienced finance manager or CFO, what are the top three necessities when covering this role?
Good question again. You know, this is very close to my heart. You know, somehow or other, whether you are a CEO or a COO, you could be a doctor, you could be a mom and pop store owner, you could be an air conditioner repairer, you could be a doctor, dentist, whatever it is. Anyone at certain level, you need to understand finance, right? And somehow or other, our schooling system, I'm not saying accounting, I'm not talking about debits and credits, but I'm essentially talking about finance. What is revenue? What is expenditure? What is profitability? What is meant by break-even analysis? What is return on invested capital? And all that stuff. These are basic stuff. I think most of the leaders will have it, but some of them may not. The commercial savviness is not there. And so to the extent, getting themselves trained is important. But fundamentally, if you ask me for those three things that a leader has to look at, one is the cash flow. In a scenario like this, cash is king. And again, scenario planning around worst case, best case, realistic case has to be looked at by them carefully. Now, out of the cash flow is important because, you know, like some of the customers could be going belly up for all that, you know, you've already supplied and they owe you 2 million, 3 million, 5 million or whatever it is. And it's already aging. And with the current crisis that has come out, they may or may not exist. And so in which case, if they're not going to pay you, what are you going to do with respect to that piece? Similarly, around expenditure and even supply chain, you know, are you carefully looking at all your suppliers to see whether they will exist to provide you with the raw material that is required to run your operations. So I think cash flow will speak volume if they sit together and come out with it. And three levels of analysis around best case, worst case, realistic case, I think this is going to be key for any leader as I see it. That's the first piece of it. The second piece of it is around engagement with the supply chain, which I briefly touched on even during my cash flow, as well as your customers. The key customers and key suppliers, you will have to be in touch with them. You need to understand their pressure points and pain points. If you want to sustain your organization, you need your customers. If these guys are going belly up, you need to probably know. Some industries are impacted substantially compared to the rest of them. But fortunately, the government is helping in terms of giving loans and all that stuff. So fundamentally, understanding the supply chain as well as customer is going to be important. That's the second piece. The third piece is around business model, go-to-market, customer segmentation, which I earlier on briefed. And these are three important things that they need to understand very clearly for them to at least know well in advance that something is not going to go well, or if I do five things, I should be able to go and recover.
You know, not every business owner is commercially savvy. So, yeah, we should start planning for different scenarios and how your cash flow will be affected. Look into supply chains and how it could affect your operations. Speak to them, understand their frustrations and also their challenges. Remember that you need them just as much as they need you. And finally, rethink your business model. There might be an opportunity that you just aren't seeing or couldn't see before. So Chari, given that everyone is trying to conserve cash, how should entrepreneurs negotiate with bigger clients to release payments earlier and also negotiate payment terms with their suppliers?
Yes, this is again important, very important for CFOs in consultation with the CEOs to go do this piece. Now, if I look at the balance sheet will tell you all the stories. So there's a huge amount of focus on P&L, not as much on balance sheet. So if I look at the cash flow burden, biggest burden will be on CapEx, right? And I've already made a huge amount of commitment on CapEx. So sometimes what you do is this, look, this is not urgent for me. I need to preserve cash. I'm going to go back and tell my suppliers that, look, can I defer it? Delay this by another 6 months, 8 months, 9 months. And so I don't want you to bring it in. Or from a CapEx perspective, conversion of CapEx into an OpEx is also possible. And we've done this many times over. For example, when we bought a billing system, for example, you know, you don't charge me $150 million today, but for every customer that I am billing, I'll pay you a certain amount of money, 10 cents, 15 cents, or whatever it is. And that kind of conversation is easily possible to achieve. The supplier will also understand. Sometimes when you buy CapEx for a particular customer, for example, then you can go back to the customer and say that, look, I'm buying this only for you. Can you send it on consignment? So in which case you are still in a position to supply, but you're preserving the cash in a way. And there are certain POs that you've already issued, but you surely think that you don't need it. You should probably go back to the suppliers and say that I want to go and cancel. So fundamentally looking at your balance sheet, looking at what commitments have you made and rethink around how you want to implement is important. From an accounts receivable perspective, so one is I covered the CapEx side. The second side is around AR. AR is going to be interesting. If there's old AR, I think we need to go and collect it as quickly as possible. In some cases, early payment discounts are very common in this industry. We can go back and say, look, I need urgently cash and I'll give you about 2% discount, 5% discount or whatever. Can you pay me the money now? And most of them will take it in a way if they have cash. You need to necessarily look at the health of the customer. In some cases, you're probably better off even paying a little more and collecting the money. A bird in hand is better than two in the bush. And so I think you should go collect those money. Now, in some cases, what you do is this, that you have an invoice. You can go to a bank and discount it. And this is also normally done. And the banks will be a lot more receptive now than they were before. And they say, okay, you've already done the work and I'm supposed to collect the money later on. And there are two ways of doing it. One is with recourse and the other one is without recourse. Ideally, you should do it without recourse. But if that is not possible, you can also try with recourse so that you can collect the cash piece of it. AP, accounts payable, is the next big ticket item out of it. And this is also important in my opinion. Looking at all the old POs, if you don't want it, just cancel it. And we have done this before. You know, if any PO is more than 2 years old, we just go back and cancel it completely, saying that if you have not drawn it down in the last 2 years, why do I need it now kind of stuff. And then this is also a great opportunity for you to go and look at new suppliers, negotiate pricing, even a general letter to all the suppliers to say that, look, we're all going through some difficult period. Although you've supplied this and this is an invoice that I'm supposed to pay you, can you give me a 15% discount? I've seen that happening now. You know, like even one large GLC has sent a note to the company that I'm dealing with to say, look, can you give me a 10% discount? So I think these are normal. Then not so normal will be on inventory. So again, manufacturing companies will have to be extremely careful with respect to inventory, old aging inventory. Can you dispose them off at a discount so that, you know, you can get your money in? Look at the aging. Similarly, reset the targets. You know, like if it's 15 days or 18 days or whatever it is, can you bring it down to 5 days? Can I think about just in time for delivery and all that stuff? And last two, three more items very quickly on bank loans. This is the greatest opportunity for you to go back to the banks and say that, look, I'm not going to pay you money immediately. Can you give me a 6-month moratorium and 12-month moratorium? I think with the government funding and all that stuff, I think help banks will be a lot more receptive. I think you should think about that. Refinancing is another opportunity. In some cases, they will also be ready to take haircuts. I'm not sure how much can be done in Malaysia, but fundamentally, in other parts of the world, haircuts are also being considered. Interest reduction is already happening, as we see, thanks to Bank Negara, which has cut down some interest rates, and that'll help all the SME as well as large companies. The other biggest cash item is around M&A, and if you're into M&A, be super cautious. Although there will be opportunities now, good opportunities, unless it is extremely compelling, don't touch it. For the time being, preserve all the cash that is needed. Litigation is another area where out-of-court settlements, get it done rather than going and paying a huge amount of money to the lawyers, or wait for a large settlement at the end of it. This will be the time when people will be receptive in a way. And lastly, from a capital structure perspective, borrowing is better. Going back to the shareholders and asking for money is going to be tough, because the WACC goes up substantially, because this is the time when everybody wants to keep the cash, and if they want to invest, they'll expect higher returns. But if there are mezzanine opportunities with respect to investment, convertible and all the stuff, that can be considered. So I think cash is key. Cash is key. Revenue enhancement, increasing profitability using pricing, profit pool are important. Cut down your expenses. Now, the other, from an expenses perspective, customer experience, we used to spend a lot of money on it. Now we need to start questioning whether it is actually giving the returns required. Marketing, we used to spend a huge amount of money. Now we can convert some of them into social media, as a result of which the marketing expenses can come down, but at the same time without impacting the revenue. Now, only a piece of advice that I have is, you know, don't cut costs blindly. You know, I want a 15% reduction or 20% reduction is not going to cut the ice. Essentially, we need to go back and see where there are fats and cut things that are not needed, and keep or even invest even more in areas where that will help you to grow in a way.
That's a good advice, that look at things that you can defer, you know, have a discussion with your suppliers and discuss with them on how you can pause what has been agreed instead of cancelling for good. And for your bigger clients, again, have that discussion with them, and perhaps they would be more willing to pay earlier if you give them a discount. I think there was some really good advice in that piece earlier that Chari really broke it down for us. Chari, just to follow up on that, what is your advice to the entrepreneurs who are considering raising funds either from their investor or to take a loan from a bank to maintain their company's current cash flow?
My advice will be to go to the bank and get money. Probably the interest rates will be lower. They'll be a lot more receptive now. Going to the shareholders, as I said earlier on, the WAC will go up. The WAC stands for weighted average cost of capital, because the expectations of shareholders will be higher because they are taking higher risk in a way at this point in time. So however, if the shareholder is coming back and saying that, look, I'll give you a loan and it can be converted into an equity at a later point in time, those can be considered on a case-by-case basis. But fundamentally, if you need cash, ideally, a borrowing will be better.
We'll take a final break, but when we come back, we'll continue episode 2 of The Extraordinary Endeavor on BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
And we're back on our final stretch of Extraordinary Endeavor with our mentor today, Chari TBT. Let's go straight into it. Chari, how do you allocate financial projection between market share and ensuring the survivability of the business?
I think survivability of business is a lot more important now, at least for the next 6 to 8 months. Market share, to me, is good. Sometimes it's vanity. This is one of the reasons why I was talking about this high value, low value, no value customers. So stick on to your profitable customers who will be paying you. Profitable customers not paying you, there's no need. But essentially, profitable customers who have financial wherewithal, I think we should focus on them, support them as much as you can, and make sure that they pay you so that your operation sustains.
And finally, I asked Chari about his advice for the entrepreneurs that are having difficulties, financial difficulties at the moment. What can they do as a summary of all the things we've discussed?
I think planning is critical. To me, strategic thought process and putting down everything on a paper honestly is going to be very important. You should recognize your weakness. If your business is getting eaten up by somebody else, I think this is a great wake-up call. And if you think that the business is not going to be successful, even if you do all the borrowings and all that stuff, I think this is time for you to rethink your business model as a whole, right? But most of them will come around, in my opinion. Most of them will come around. All that they need is to do some tweaking, get aggressive with respect to digital transformation. And I've been consulting for one company. They were into plastic recycling. It's a run-of-the-mill plastic recycling. From there to where they are today, now they are talking about. So essentially, even the most unsexy business can be made extremely sexy and profitable by introducing technology. For example, in this case, they are now talking about ocean plastic. Ocean plastic pricing is about 8x more than the normal plastic, for example. They are into food grade plastic. They are into converting plastic into oil, and then using blockchain to provide transparency. So I think there's one thing that I would probably reinforce is use technology to drive your business. There's one more company that I'm consulting for very quickly. These guys are into converting all the building security services, providing physical guards into IoT-based, camera-based, IPV camera-based surveillance, for example. And the insurance companies like this value proposition so much that they are willing to give you a discount. And the security is a lot better using technology rather than providing just manpower in a way. So I think if you think through sitting in a room, some of these so-called mundane routine businesses can be made into high-tech companies. And this is probably a good opportunity and a wake-up call for all the leaders to say, how do I go and convert and digitize my company?
Planning, planning, planning. Well, now's the time to rethink your business if you are truly struggling. But don't jump into any rash decision before actually looking at all your options. Go digital, be aggressive on digital, seek advice from your suppliers, investors, and all the stakeholders, and have a discussion with them, your clients, your customers. You are not alone in this crisis. You may not have all the answers. They may not have all the answers, but we all are going through the same challenge. And that's all we have for our second episode of Extraordinary Endeavor. A big thanks to our mentor for today, Chari TVT, the senior advisor at Duff & Phelps, for his insights, and also to our entrepreneur asking the question, Aaron Patel, the founder and CEO of iHandal. If you missed any parts of this show, you can download the podcast now at the BFM website or the BFM app. You can also get last week's episode. This series was made possible thanks to our partner, Endeavor Malaysia. And for more information about how you can seek for mentorship advice, visit endeavormalaysia.org. Until next week, stay safe and stay home. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.